Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Sister Tammy Hernandez. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Sister Tammy Hernandez as she begins her message.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I am so humbled and thankful and grateful that you would resurrect me, that you drawed me, that you called me from the pit of hell that I lived in, Father God, that you saved me. Not only did you save me, you changed me, Father. You put my feet upon a rock, Lord. And when the world comes the way it does, Father God, you keep me standing, but it's only by you and through you. So, Father, I just give you the glory. Let your word today, let your word pierce the heart of man, Lord. Let us not be the same as we walked in, Lord. Because your word is life. My words mean nothing, but your words mean everything. So let your word, Father God, go and pierce their hearts this morning, Lord. Father, we just love you and we praise you in the name above all names. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My title is Remember Who You Are, and then what are you going to do with that? Ephesians 1 through 3 and 14 is where I started, and I prayed, and I kept asking God, what would you like? What would you like me to tell your people to teach? What would you like me to share to my family? And I'm thinking, you know, the armor of God. I'm thinking all the regular, you know, kind of the stuff that we know, you know. But it was more of a love story to us. It was more of what he did for us and to remember that. And so I was like kind of blown away because if you've ever heard me teach or preach before, I kind of teach kind of on the other side, you know. Like, pull out your sword, get busy, you know. That's my normal way of teaching, but this was different. He said, no, with love. Teach with love. I said, okay, then you better do it all. Because, okay. So Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, I'm gonna read it. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Christ according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which is graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed to himself as a plan for fulfillment of time, to unite all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth. In him we have received an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of his purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That to me, again, is a love story that he's telling us. It's through the whole thing Paul is telling us through his love, through his redemption. As you heard this morning about the killings in Texas and the killings in Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio means so much to me because my best friend Michelle lives there. She just moved there. And she said it. 3 o'clock this morning, she received a screaming call from her niece saying that she was so fearful and running because she was at that nightclub. And she was saying, Thea, you know, Auntie, someone was shooting and he killed people. At that time, she didn't know how many because she was too fearful and running. And Michelle said, she called me at 4:15 this morning, that she was just grateful that she was running and not having to go and find her dead. But she was grateful that her niece called screaming and was running from the scene. And for those who don't know, I also had, so now that's so close to me, right? And then my daughter-in-law was in, didn't go to Vegas, but do you remember the shooting that killed 50 in Vegas? Well, she goes every year, her and her sisters, and my daughter can verify that. She goes every year to the country and western. They have like a jamboree. It's a 3-day event. And her sisters were there. And the only reason why Christy wasn't there was because she was pregnant heavily. And that's the only reason she didn't go. But that's two family members, people that are dear to me, that have literally been shot at or have someone that close. I shouldn't know that. I shouldn't have people like that so close to us. This is happening all around our country. Yeah. We're losing sight. And if people don't recognize where we are in the world today, I mean, they're not paying attention on the signs. The word tells us that there'll be times like this. Yeah. And I hate to tell you, but it's going to get worse. Mercy. It's going to get worse. And you need to know who you are in Christ.
That's right.
Perfect? No. You're never going to be. I've heard people tell me, well, that's good for you, and, you know, I'm not ready yet, or, you know, different things. You know, I'm so messed up, I got to get right first. No, you don't. He brings you and gets you right.
That's right. Come on.
If I would have came and waited to get right, I'd probably be dead. Because God saved me so strung up. I was on a 7-day run. I was so wired, and it took me I don't know how long to get feet rooted. I would go to church for a little while, hide out from all the friends, and close up my doors because I had a 24-hour. Everybody knew Tammy was always awake. You know, I was always tweaking, always wired. They knew, you know, that we weren't selling drugs. We had the drugs, and if we didn't have the drugs, they brought the drugs. And if I would have waited to get right, I would not be standing here today. I'd probably be dead. My own friends told me that every time they heard an ambulance, they thought it was for me. I weighed 98 pounds. I hardly ever ate. But God saved me then. And he had grace and mercy. And I struggled through that. I tell everybody, it took 2 years. I didn't get to go into a women's home. Like my first husband got to go in a men's home and get his life straightened. I didn't have that opportunity because I had two children at the time. And I had nobody to take them. And so I had to try to learn how to stay saved myself. I didn't have the ability, and I would do really good for like a week or two, and then somebody would come in here, and there I'd go again. And it took a process. So I'm telling you today, it takes a process. But God knows your heart. He knows who you are. And so I want to share today what the word was telling us and what he did for us and how he saved us. And again, it says in Ephesians 1 through, I'm just going to read this. It said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us. Just as he chose us, him in the foundations of the world, that tells me that he chose me before the foundations of the world. He chose you before the foundations of the world. Not before your mama decided to have a baby. Before the foundations of the world, he chose you. That's, to me, that's like mind-boggling. Can my mind even conceive that? Comprehend it? That's like, he wants us to, it says, to be holy and blameless before him in love. And I have to ask, how do we be holy and blameless? I fall short every day. But he's talking about loving him with a pure heart. He's talking about asking God to forgive me. Father, help me get my life right. I mess up. Anybody who stands next to me knows me. I am not perfect. And none of you are either. Hate to tell you, sorry to bust your bubble. You are not perfect. None of us are, because God said that only one man, and that is Jesus. Only one. So if you're trying to be perfect, get over it. You're not going to be. Is that a license to go out and sin and do whatever? Absolutely not. Oh, Tammy said, get over it. I'm going to go and, you know. What'd she say about that nightclub? No. I have a friend right now that the Lord has me talking with and working with. And I know God has me there for her very reason. And she's always talking. She's living with her boyfriend. And, you know, but she's asking me to pray for her. And she's having some issues right now. So she went to church. And she's, you know, doing this. And she's reaching out to God. And I'm excited for her. But a Christian told her, and I say Christian because there's a difference between the world. I expect it from the world. But a Christian told her, well, no wonder everything keeps happening to you. You're living in sin. That's like the worst sin ever. And I was appalled. How dare you? Do you not think that she already knows she's in sin? What makes you think that your sin is different than her sin?
Come
on. We got to get this straight and get it right.
Come on.
There is no difference in sin. God does not say, oh, this one's worse than this one. In fact, he says the liar will go to hell. How many white lies have you told? Okay. The drunkard. And I can go on and on and on. He doesn't see this one's worse, so you go here, and this one's better. We have no right to judge anybody. He says to love one another, to encourage one another. We're good at beating ourselves up. We already know we mess up. Do we need someone to point that out? No. We need to love them in Christ. That's the difference between us and the world, is loving them. I tell her, I'm no different than anybody else. The only difference between me is I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I ask him every single day to help me. I repent to him and say, forgive me, Lord, help me. That's the only difference. I try to live a good life, what the Word says. But my battles are still the same. And I can't look at them any different. And I refuse to. So God, he's telling us here in the Bible, he's with such love. It's like, I literally, when I was reading it, it was like, I love the way Paul writes. Paul's the one that wrote this. But with like a love story, like a love letter. He's saying he predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure. Again, he adopted me. I didn't have a daddy. My dad booked when I was 2. Didn't turn around. Met him later on when I was like 18, and oh, I wish I would have never. He was a sexual predator. So God saved me from that. So I don't claim to ever have a worldly, earthly dad. I didn't need an earthly dad because my God says he adopted me. Right here, look it up. Ephesians 1:5 says he predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ, according to his good pleasure. He adopted me not for me, his good pleasure, for him. Wow. 6 says to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us to his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of all sins according to the riches of his grace. He's telling us right there that not only did he save you, he redeemed you. He washed you. He said, let me take Tammy out of this drug house And let me clean her up. Let me change her mouth. Because every other word was not a nice word. I don't know, right? Or am I, it's just me. Just me, I know, okay. You know, I didn't wear dresses. I didn't, you know, I was always in my Levi's and my khakis and my, right, cha-cha? My little Pendletons. I was a little homegirl. That's what I was. But God changed that. He straightened that. What's he done for you? How has he changed you? Are you perfect? Again. Ain't gonna be. Sorry. Again. Pop that bubble. I love when people walk around and they're like, I'm so-and-so. I'm this, I'm that. Like, well, I got into grace because, you know. I have a big title now and I always forget my, I always forget I'm supposed to walk in when I go into get clients. I'm supposed to walk in with Director Tammy, and I'm looking at that like, only director I was at home, and that's because I belong there. But I laugh because it says director, care director. And I always forget it. And my assistant, the one who works with me, she's the manager, she goes, oh, you didn't put your director thing. They're not going to know who you are. I go, well, that's okay. You got your manager thing on you. I don't care. I'm just here to try to make business. Titles mean nothing. We have no business sticking our nose up to anybody. Not that homeless man on the street. Not that uppity-up girl that's in the store in front of you going, pray for her. You know, the best thing that I ever learned was from Brother Felipe. For those who know Felipe Reyes, please pray for him. They're really, pray for his wife. She's got stage 4 cancer. That's a free one. I'm throwing that one in there. So please put her on your prayer list. But one of the things he taught me was, from this very pulpit, he said, when he gets the thoughts, because we do, like, oh, look at her. What's she wearing? Oh, check him out. I don't know. Again, just me, right? He says, when he does that, he says, oh, Father God, forgive me. Bless her. Yes. Bless him, Lord. I pray a double portion on them right now in the name of Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. And he gets on going. I love that. Because here I am in Walmart. Yesterday, some girl hit me and didn't even... I looked at him like, she just hit me, and she just kept on walking like 10 points, you know, like she was proud. And I was like, but I said, Lord, bless her. Bless her, Father God. I don't know what her day's like. And I just, you know, and I just kept on walking. I snapped out of it, but you watched me snap into it real quick. It was like, whoop, took that second. Whoop. Especially my back. I'm like, I'm already barely, you know, an old lady with my back. And you're going to hit me in the back? I'm like, have mercy. So that's a free one too. Use that, because don't tell me you don't do it. How about when you're driving your car? I got my daughter here, so I ain't even gonna throw that out there. And she drives my car. I'm like, ah! She goes, quit doing that. You scare me, because I'll be like, she's like, stop it. But she's a great driver. That's why I let her drive. But you're driving and someone just cuts you off.
Come on.
You want to just tell them how you feel. And those who have been with me in my car, who have been with me, said, Father God, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Pray a double portion over them. People lose their cool. We lose our cool. And quickly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But God knows that about you. He knows that about me. And he still says he loves me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I love that he says in Ephesians 8, 1 through 8, he says, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will according to his pleasure, which he purposed in himself as a plan for the fullness of time. To unite all things in Christ, which are in heaven. And that's telling me he lavished wisdom and insight. That's amazing in itself. I was asking Angelique this morning, how do you spell this? How do you spell that? Yvonne's granddaughter. She's all, I'm like, okay. He's telling me that he's giving me wisdom and insight, that he's giving me understanding for this word. Because before, when I first got saved, I didn't know you were supposed to pray before you opened your word. I didn't know that little thing. You should always pray before you open your word. If you don't know that, now you do. And that God makes it understanding to me, that I understand the word actually now. And he talks about in the word, I actually have it here somewhere in my notes, I lost them already, of how the Gentiles and the people, they didn't know the word. They didn't understand. First of all, they didn't have the word, but they didn't understand. Remember when he was up on the hill and he was telling people John and they were saying, Peter, and they were saying, why do you talk to them in parables? And he was like, it's not for their understanding. And they were like, huh? He doesn't want anyone just to be able to open the word and say, oh, I understand that. I got that figured out. Okay, yeah, uh-huh. He gave us wisdom and knowledge for us to understand it, but not for us just to understand it, but us to live it, to teach it, to walk with it. It's no longer just ink on paper. It has meaning. And why do I say that? Because he says it right here. He's given us wisdom, insight. I don't know about you now, but when I open the Bible, I'm a mess. I'm always crying or getting mad. Like when I read about, you know, how Goliath just had his nerve the way he walked up, you know, like, I mean, he kept beating up everybody. Nobody even wanted to fight Goliath. He was a big giant, right? There's the Philistines. They were, you know, they were bullies. They were going from place to place bullying and conquering. And he was like the number one guy back there. And it made me mad. I thought, who did he think he is? And here's little David, you know, come up, little 13-year-old. Wouldn't even refuse to wear the armor because the armor didn't fit anyways. And just, you know, I don't come. He said, I don't come in arm of this. I come in the name of the Lord. And he's done. That, just stories like that. I can read the word and just start bawling. Just start crying. Because it now speaks to my heart. Before it was just words and I would fall asleep and think it was boring. Especially if you get into Leviticus and all that and you start running about this brother and that king and that this and that and down to the seventh generation. And I'm like, close it. Now I understand what that meant. Now it makes sense that we need to see the lineage all the way down to David and how David was connected to Jesus because God wants to show us the importance of that. But I didn't know that back then. It was just boring. I was like, done. But again, his word's telling us. He's loving on us. He's teaching us who we are in Christ.
Thank you.
Amen. It says here in 1:11, it says, in him also we have received an inheritance. I haven't received nothing from nobody. But he's saying, I received an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own. He has an inheritance for you. Did he say that if you mess up, I take it away? Do you say if you're not perfect, I'll take it away? He's the one that has the inheritance that you're going to get, that he's giving you. And it actually starts here on earth. Because even though we are in the times of trouble, and it's continuous, every day there's going to be something. What part of his inheritance is just loving on us and walking with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even through the hard times. And I don't know about you, but I've been through some pretty hard times. But my inheritance is heaven.
Yes, amen.
That's my goal. I have one goal on earth, and it's to get there. I want to be where it's beautiful. And I've had an opportunity. I was blessed when I almost passed away a couple years ago that God showed me a vision of heaven. And I got to see the beauty of it. The grass was so green and it had little diamonds that literally sparkled. And I remember the flowers on the right hand of me. And I remember how they were singing. I was wondering where this beautiful worship, when it was coming from the flowers. And I remember they were swaying back and forth, and because I'm a woman and I love beautiful things, the first thing I did was pick it up. And I went, realized I picked one of God's flowers. And it rewrapped. Like, the root just... And it made me realize that nothing dies in heaven. Nothing dies in heaven. And I remember looking to the left of me, and there was this beautiful lake. And on top of this lake was a, I can't explain it. I want to say like a walkway, a glass. But you could see through it. It was like silver and copper and gold. So when they say the streets are gold, it's not like this kind of gold. It's like you could see it. It was a luminous. It was shiny. And underneath this was this beautiful, not a lake, but a river just bubbling. And you could kind of hear the sounds of it. And I remember looking at that. And I remember I started walking towards it. And I knew at that moment that if I got on that street, that river with the street over it, that it was going to take me somewhere. I knew that inside me. How I knew that, I don't know, but I knew that. So I started to walk towards that. And then all of a sudden, what caught my eye was on the right side, way in the corner, there were all these saints. And this is how I knew they were saints and not angels, because they were all these saints. And they weren't translucent. You could tell that they were people. But all I could see was like they were wearing their garments, white garments, and they all had robes on them. And they were all standing and they were praising and singing from this great big huge light coming. And there were two angels up in the light. And these were like 9-foot angels. And their wings were not open, like in flight. They were behind them and they were just standing in the air. And I remember thinking, huh. And I wanted to go there because I wanted to sing. I wanted to go be part of the worship. I felt no pain, no struggle, no fear, complete calmness. Even though there was not noise like you hear like when you're driving, or no matter how quiet it is, you still hear things. It wasn't like that. It was complete calmness. And I remember when I opened my eyes, I'm laying in the emergency room with my daughter to the right of me and my son to the left of me, and I could feel their fear for me because they didn't know what was going on. I could just feel like the room was fearful. And then I was mad because why was I there? Like, why? What? Like, he gave me a taste. So I know heaven. That has just given me more of a hunger for heaven. And I'm telling you all this for the simple reason is there truly is a heaven. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And it's a place you want to go. But just as there's a heaven, there's a hell.
That's right.
And that's a place you don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And when he says eternity, again, our minds cannot comprehend that. What does forever mean? Because we can't go that far. We have loved ones and they leave us. And what do you mean I'm never going to see them again? Well, you are going to see them again.
Amen.
You know, just depends where they're going and where you're going. But we can't comprehend what eternity is because it's so far. We understand the meaning of it. But we can't go farther with that. So we need to know who we are and where we are. We need to know that God loves us. That God has saved us, that he has an inheritance for us. He has heaven for us. He's actually going to bring heaven down to earth, he says, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new Jerusalem?
Yes.
I'm waiting for that. Are you waiting for that?
Yes.
Amen. It says that he, in number 12, 1:12, it says, that we who were the first to hope in Christ should live for the praise of his glory. In him you should all... Also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing in him, we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of, again, our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So again, he's talking about our inheritance. He's promised you a life. A life beyond this, a glorious life. He's telling us that we were sealed. And there it says salvation through the gospel of your salvation. He's saying, I understand I saved you. I know from where you come. Remember, he says, He knows us before the foundations of the earth. So if anybody knows us, he knows us.
That's right.
With all of our stuff, with all of our junk, with all of our trash. And he's still giving us a promise. He says a promise of the Holy Spirit and a guarantee of an inheritance. I love this part where it says he sealed us. And pastor talks about it a lot. That once you're saved and you know, you get baptized and you're asking God to come in, that he sealed you, that no one can take him away. Can you fall back? Yes. I'm a perfect example of that. I did that. I fell. And I fell hard. And it was only God's grace that I came back. But he seals us. Now, I want to tell you that I know that that's a fact, too, for the simple reason Joel is sitting right here. One day we were in his kitchen and we were praying for him, and I remember looking at him and getting a quick vision of a thumbprint right on his forehead, a big thumbprint. And it looked like almost like fire, like, you know. And I went, and he goes, what? And I go, I now know what the seal means. That God literally puts, he literally seals us. We can't see it in the natural, but in the spirit, it's there. Amen. Okay, I know I'm a little crazy, but, you know, praise the Lord. For those who don't know me, yes, I do see things. Since I was a little girl, I have seen things. And I used to work it for the enemy. As a little girl, I was always told she's crazy and don't listen to her. And, you know, things would happen and I would see certain things and things on people and stuff. And I would tell them, my family would just totally, like, she's nuts. They even tried to take me to an exorcism. You get to see what a true person that's been exorcised that didn't work, where they took me to the priest and they threw a bunch of holy water and prayed the demons out of me. And, you know, and I think that just made me madder. And it actually taught me to shut up. But I've had that since I was little, that ability since I was a little girl. And when I got older, I actually got real heavy into witchcraft. I used to read cards and tell people to come over and bring me their drugs or their whatever, or money, and I would read for them their little things, and I was always the life of the party. And thank you, Jesus,
yes,
that God saved me and showed me that wasn't for the enemy's glory, that was for God's glory.
Amen.
That to use it for his glory, that he shows me things just to always to uplift the Lord, always to encourage people, you know, always tell people things, you know, like maybe a person's got darkness around them and I can say, what's going on? Let me pray for you. And they don't understand why, but I do, you know, because I see the darkness on them. And so, again, all my life, it's kind of been that way and I can't change that. That's just who I am. So if you think I'm a little crazy, okay, you know, maybe a little bit, but all for the great glory and the grace of God, amen. Because each one of us are sealed. Each one of us, let me get back to the word. Each one of us have been chosen. Each one of us are unique. Each one of us have a talent or a gift. And you are special to the Lord. And I'm telling you all this for one reason, is now you know who you are in Christ. And I have a whole bunch of verses here that I'm not even, for some reason, the Lord has just kind of taken me off track. But I'm telling you this, for what are you going to do with it? You know you're saved. You know you're redeemed. You know you're cleansed. I hope everybody knows that. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. Amen. What are you going to do with it? There were 20 lives taken in El Paso, Texas this morning. There were another 9 in Dayton and 26 shot at. Did somebody share the gospel? Did somebody tell them about the Lord? When they were getting up, like Brother G said, that the 20 were shot at a Walmart. I don't know about you, but as I was at Walmart yesterday, you know, I'm a Walmart shopper. When they were going to Walmart, they didn't think that would be their last day. But did somebody tell them about God? And some people think, oh, it's so hard. No, it isn't. Tell them your testimony of who you are. What God has done for you. Every single one of us have a story. Have you told your story? Does your neighbor know who you are in Christ? Do they know that you struggle and that you're not perfect? Because you need to be that transparent. People don't want to know that you're perfect because all it just is reminds them of their flaws, right? I don't need someone pointing out my flaws. I'm good at that. But have you shared your story? Have you told your coworker about the love of God and what he's done? We know who we are, right? We know that God's redeemed us. We know that he sealed us. We know that he saved us. And most of us literally went to the pit of hell and took us out. Literally. But does your neighbor know that? Does your friend know that? Remember I shared at the very beginning that there's somebody that I'm close to right now that God has me working with, and that a Christian, that's how she told me. Her Christian friend told her, well, it's because you're in sin. Because you're living in sin, no wonder everything's, you know. Do you think that she didn't know she was living in sin? Her dad's a pastor. She knows she's living in sin. Do you think that's going to get her to church? By telling her sin? You know what I do with her? I pray with her. I love on her. Because she's no different than Tammy. She's no different than any of us. And she told me, I got to lead her in the sinner's prayer that she had asked God before in her life. She was actually going to come here this morning. Because I invited her. And she was going to come here, but, you know, the enemy's a liar. But you need, who do they know your story? Does your coworkers even know you're saved? And I'm going to hope to goodness your neighbors do. I know that we don't even talk to neighbors. I barely met one of our neighbors that lives in front of us, not even on the side of us. And she's deaf. But she reads lips. Beautiful woman. And I started talking to her. She couldn't believe that I was talking to her. And, you know, I started telling her about, oh, praise the Lord. Da-da-da. She was looking at me like, huh? But she was excited that I stopped and talked to her because nobody talks to anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. I can tell you I know none of the people that live around us. I couldn't even tell you their names. A Filipino lives next door. I can tell you that. I have a Mexican. His wife, his son, his two girls, and dad live there. I have the white lady that's deaf, but I don't even know her name. What is that? I know them they probably don't even know what I am. But they probably think, oh, there's that short little Mexican, maybe Cuban guy that lives next door. I always call Angel my little Cuban because he looks like a little Cuban man. He's just missing the stogie. So they're probably saying, who's that guy? I mean, we need to get out there.
Yes.
We need to share with people. We need to tell them. We know who we are now. If you didn't know before you walked in here today, and I believe you all did know before that, you know who you are today. You know you have an inheritance. But can you share it with someone else?
Come on.
Because what happens if that person that you met at work, that you said the Lord maybe pinged your heart, share your story, and you were just too busy to do it. Oh, I'll go later. And they get in their car and they never come back. I never had an opportunity again, right? So we need to know who we are in Christ, but we also need to let others know who we are. So that's why my title is, Remember Who You Are and What Are You Going to Do With It? I can tell you 10 scriptures right here, what God says to go out and reach the world, to go to the highways and the byways. I'm not asking you for that. I'm telling you to go to your neighbor. What about your little sister or your little brother? We have a lot of adults in here that maybe their little sisters are 15, 20, 30, 40. Have you encouraged her? Have you encouraged him? Do they know, A, you love them, and B, that you're praying for them? Sometimes just saying to them, I'm praying for you, is all people want to hear. They just need that. This world is rough. It's hard. Every single day when you get up, it's going to be a challenge. The Word tells us that. He did not promise us a rose garden. But because we're saved, because God loves us, he wrote us a love letter to tell us how important we are to him, that he's adopted us, that he saved us, just like we are. We have the goods. We need to share them.
That's right.
We need to give to others. Because like I said, this world, it's not getting better. It's not getting easier. And sometimes just telling that person, maybe at the grocery store, have a good day. How are you doing today? And yes, I am the person that goes in the grocery store. I embarrass my daughter all the time. I go to the grocery store, we'll stop and pray for somebody. Let me pray for you. She's limping. She needs prayer. My daughter's like, oh, here she goes again. My poor daughter. She loves me, though. She puts up with her mama. Are we praying for one another? Are we stopping our busy day, knowing who we are in Christ, and sharing? Like I said, you don't have... Well, I don't know how to go and tell people about Jesus. Tell them your story. Your story is enough. God has saved me from this. God has done this. God has rescued me from a life of hell. Share your story. Tell them who you are. Tell them what he's done. Tell them what he's doing. And tell them of your inheritance. Because God said, not one do I want to perish. Not one. So when 9 people died today, and 20 in Texas died today, were there ones there that knew Christ? I pray they did. I pray they did. But you have the goods. I don't know about you. I was very tight and selfish when I was out in the world. I didn't share my goods. But now I have something to share. I have something to tell others. Yes. Will you be a part of my team and go out and share with others and tell them? Because it scares me in this world. We never want to stop praying for our families. I always laugh when I think about praying for our family. I think about the woman in the Bible who was always in front of the judge constantly at the judges, you know, like constantly asking. And he finally said, enough already. Just give her what is it she wants. Give it to her. Well, that's me with God. I'm like, Lord, remember Acts 2, 38 and 39 right here, Lord. You said, all my children shall be saved. Right here. And yes, I do that. That the promises are theirs. Right here, Lord. You said the promises of my children and great will be their peace. I pray for peace over my family. Are you praying for peace for your family? Are you praying for that person that's driving you crazy? Because it's easy to pray for the one you love and admire and that she's just your buddy and she just agrees with everything about you. But how about that one that you just want to put your arms around her and just choke her? Are you praying for her? For him? Because those are the ones that God really, the word says iron sharpens iron, which means, have you ever seen iron hit iron or metal hit metal where it sparks? Well, that's what you see happen with people, where she rubbed you raw and there's a spark. It's not a nice spark. It's not, oh, look how pretty. It's like, right? Spark, iron sharpens iron. That's the one you need to pray for. That sister over there, she said that blah, 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 blah about you. I'm going to pray for her. It's easy to pray for your loved ones that you love, your friends. It's easy to go up and talk to people who answer the phone to you. But the one that keeps saying, I'm busy, or I love it nowadays, they don't even answer it. They just let it go to voicemail, or they don't answer your text, and you can see now that they read it. My daughter showed me all these little things. Oh, they read that. Didn't even respond. Okay? Right. Are you reaching out? Are you telling? Remember who you are. And remember to take it and share it. Amen? I'm going to close early today. You guys are blessed. Woohoo! But what I want to do before we leave is my gift is prayer, to pray for people. So I want to open the altars. And I want to be able to pray for you. If you want personal prayer, you know, I would like to do that for you, if you'll allow me. Amen? And I hope that you guys got something today out of this, remembering who you are. I'm going to close. If you don't need prayer, that's fine. You're welcome. If you don't need prayer, there is no fellowship today due to our pastors. There is prayer tonight at 5 if you'd like to join us here. But if you don't need prayer, you can go ahead and leave. But we're going to go ahead and close. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and I pray that this love letter that you've given us, that you reminded us, Father, that we are redeemed, that you love us so much, that not only that you saved us and changed us, but that you've given us hope of everlasting life and inheritance. But Father, help us to be those people that share our story, that tell others about your love, your mercy, your grace, that we would not be the people to point out people's sin, because we're all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, Lord. But that we'd love one another. The world points out sin to everybody. Everybody wants to outdo everybody, Lord. Let us represent you in such a way, because we love the sinner. We love the one that's struggling like us, Father. I love you, Lord, and I praise you. I thank you, Father, for the awesome opportunity to share with my sisters and brothers this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.